Oh, I don't know about you seekers, but I've about had a gutful of the news lately. So I started thinking the last thing I want to do is some topical episode of Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, so... Oh, why don't we just immerse ourselves in something nice and light and something we don't have to think a whole lot about. Something like America's junk culture. Fasher didn't think much of it.
The program you're about to hear, Bob's Slacktime Funhouse, is parody, satire, and comedy. Any reference to Bob, the church of misogynist, religion, politics, or any other touchy subjects is intended only as humor, and should cast no reflection on the high standards of WREK Atlanta, its staff, or that of Georgia Tech.
Okay. I've waited long enough, and now the time has come.
Oscar, what are you doing anyway?
What does it look like I'm doing, Bob?
Well, it looks like you're, you know, making a mess.
I'm getting ready to sing my song, so I'm throwing out all my trash onto the sidewalk. Isn't it beautiful?
Well, I wouldn't say it's exactly beautiful, Oscar.
Well, I would. Just look at it all. What a beautiful, junky mess of rotten, rusty, mangy, musty, crummy, beautiful trash.
Somebody mentioned my name?
Ah, these minstrels will soothe my jangled nerves.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. If you really want to see something trashy, look at this. I have here a sneaker that's tattered and worn. It's all full of holes and the laces are torn. A gift from my mother the day I was born. I love it because it's trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Here's some more rotten stuff. I have here some newspaper 13 months old. I've wrapped this inside and it's smelly and old. But I wouldn't trade it for a big pot of gold. I love it because it's trash. Yes, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash. Now look at this restless junk. I've a clock that won't work and an old telephone. A broken umbrella, a rusty trombone. And I am delighted to call them my own. I love them because they're trash. Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty. Anything ragged or rotten or rusty. Yes, I love trash.
Boy, Oscar, that was really some song.
I'm glad you liked it, Bob.
Hey, I can see that singing it made you very happy.
Happy? Grouches don't get happy.
Yeah, tell me about it, Oscar. Oh, but I guess that song will do just fine as a mission statement for tonight's show. Hello, I'm Reverend Susie the Floozy, welcoming you to Bob's Slacktime Funhouse. And yes, seekers, as you can tell from the content of my previous shows, I love trash. Yes, beautiful glops of sheer genius and sub-genius. Pumped from the dark nether regions of America's collective soul. And you need it too, because I'm very concerned about your psychosocial development, seekers. Are you getting enough irony in your diet? Oh, look at that pinched look around your eyes. I can see that America's popular culture, oh, there's a contradiction in terms, has certainly taken a toll on you. A toll that you paid willingly, shuttled through the chutes with all of the other sheep, believing their misleading promises of entertainment, only to find yourself in the same lockstep as the other drones. fooled into thinking there's something new on the horizon. Oh, but look, the only real difference is that the corporate logo is much larger on this model. Hey, careful with that fax, Eugene. The corporate-driven cultural trends of the conspiracy are nothing but a crutch, all designed to make us the doughy, soft, putrid, unreasoning lumps that they want us to be. And oh, you don't want to be caught like that when the X's come down in a little over a year, do you? If you trust the paid trend makers to make your entertainment decisions, look what happens. You wind up with phenomena like that "you can call me Ray, you can call me Jay" guy. Their corporate-driven fads wash over us like a fetid tide. Oh, catchphrases, stupid fashions, bad haircuts, and even worse. Oh, think of all the bad judgments and permanent mistakes people are making out there. I mean, really, never get a fad tattooed on you. For example, I still regret that "where's the beef" thing I had tattooed on my butt cheek. Oh, yeah, you bet I'm bitter. Especially about rock music. Vacuous, over-coiffed, spandex publicity junkies moaning about how misunderstood they are. Oh, give me a brick, somebody. If you ask me, the word "hit list" is missing a letter. Yes, I'm downright militant about my stunningly bad taste in music, all right, and with good reason. Because much like the superhero Flaming Carrot became the way he is today from reading too many comic books at one sitting, I too endured a traumatic experience that shaped my sleaze culture destiny. I spent years having to go-go dance to nothing but top 40 crap, and now I can't even listen to the radio in anybody's car anymore, except for sometimes WREK here, for the simple fact that I can't projectile vomit and drive at the same time. Well, not with the windows up anyway. Oh, but enough about my delicate system. It's time to start hurting yours right now.
Tasteless garbage!
Hungry?
Well,
how about a nice big lukewarm bowl full of tasteless garbage?
Huh?
Look good?
Yeah, well...
Go ahead and try some.
Well...
Taste good?
Well, yeah.
Tasteless garbage!
You eat it every day.
I think there's a pretty nasty effect of all the junk that's out there, and people just become so anesthetized by it that they can't really appreciate even the good things. They can't discriminate, they can't differentiate. Little kids will sit and look at things, they'll study things, they'll stare at things, they'll stop and, you know, just stare at something, just become entranced by it. But we lose that when we finally realize that there's nothing really new out there. We know everything. I mean, nowadays it takes a UFO or a bloody accidents, or someone trying to murder you, to really get an emotional charge, a memorable emotional charge.
I want to thank you all for being here and welcome you to the first conference of the American cause. And let me tell you who we are and what we are about. You know, after the Republican defeat last November, some within the conservative cause said that the cultural war in America was lost. Quote, "I regret to inform Pat Buchanan," said one distinguished neoconservative in the Wall Street Journal, "that these wars are over and the left has won." Well, as I wrote in response, we cannot raise a white flag in the cultural war, for that war is about who we are and what we believe. Nor can conservatives become conscientious objectors, because culture shapes politics. Culture is the Ho Chi Minh trail to power. Surrender this province and we lose America.
They are taking over the culture.
The what?
The culture. The movies, books, clothes, music.
Yeah, yeah. They're all screwed up, so they got control of the culture, right? They're all screwed up, so they're screwing up the culture. Yeah, it ain't what the kids say that we screwed them up. It's the other way around, with all that culture crap.
The name of the game is not to walk away and wash our hands of America's culture. The name of the game is recapture the culture. Our goal is to depollute and detoxify the culture so that middle America can again drink freely from it and be nurtured and enriched, not nauseated or poisoned.
We're on the verge of change. We're on the verge of progress. We've turned a corner. And I believe with all of your efforts, with efforts of organizations like this one and meetings of the mind like you have here, we may one day and again soon see a time when America's popular culture will be as hopeful, as diverse, and as fundamentally decent as the people who live in this great country.
You know, I sort of like things like this too. You won't laugh. I like to go on bicycle trips, too. Do you?
And miniature golf. Do you like that?
Yeah, and weenie roasts and square dances.
And baseball games and taffy pull. I think they're swell.
Say, you like to do lots of things, don't you? Say, Kay, next Friday there's going to be a weenie roast, or there'll be a bowling party if you'd rather do that, or we could go to the band concert.
Oh, I'd enjoy going to the weenie roast very much. Unless you'd rather go bowling.
No, I'd rather go to the weenie roast.
In such poor taste. Outrage.
You know, what upset them? Is it so novel to go out there and say that movies and television and popular music aren't very good today, aren't very wholesome today? This isn't a radical point of view. It's not a fringe opinion. This is something that every American knows. And you know what? People in Hollywood know it. They acknowledge it. They're embarrassed by their own work. So what is it that bothered people so strenuously about Hollywood versus America? I'll tell you what it is.
Our program is cultural revolution through a total assault on the culture, which makes use of every tool, every energy, every media we can get our hands on.
I know a preacher went to visit a family one time, and the mother and daddy were not quite ready to present themselves. They were back in the back getting something, and so they sent their little girl about 4 years old out to entertain the preacher.
It's in Revelations, people!
That's what I call cheap.
A whore. She's a whore.
A whore!
Oh, you degenerate wanton.
For you, she won't come cheap. And you'll have to pay in advance.
Well, I'd be willing to go as high as $1.75.
Ah, she's worth more than that.
This permissive society demands an answer. Why is premarital sex wrong? Why? Young men and young ladies that see sex bluntly advertised on every television screen, every billboard, every newspaper. The movies have become so sex-oriented that they defy all description today. They demand an answer. Why is it wrong? Why not indulge yourself? Those old Victorian principles of yesteryear have been done away with. This is the new age. It's the new time. A new page has been turned in the book of life.
Our country today's pleasure man. Where's the Wednesday night crowd? Where's the group that used to meet to pray in the house of God? They're glued around some TV set. They're out at some ball. Park. The amusement craze has run roughshod over the church standards. The church in many places has had to close its doors. Competition from the world has been too much. There was a time if you wanted to go see a movie, my friend, you went downtown to the theater. Now you can go to the basement of our churches, some of them. There was a time if you wanted to dance, you'd go to the honky-tonk. But many of our churches have tried to compete with the dance hall. Put a dance hall in the basement of the church. Therefore, you'll find in Revelation 3 that God gives this indictment against the church of the Laodicean age. This is the church of 1973.
1974 is the year that they are now planning for sex on the streets in every major city from coast to coast. And get ready for a shock. The music that they're planning to use to crumble the morals of America is this rotten, filthy, dirty, lewd, lascivious junk called rock and roll. God help you compromising preachers who allow this rock beat in your pulpit on Sunday morning because they got Jesus Saves tied to it. It isn't just the lyrics, it's the beat. I preach into my conversion story, which you can get, how this beat gets them. 400 teenage girls in Detroit interviewed as to why they had illegitimate babies. They said, not just the words, the beat.
the fertility rights of the jungles are the same beats incorporated in this modern rock to stir them up.
And when I listen to a really good song, I start nodding my head like I'm saying yes to every beat.
Yes, 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 this rocks.
And then sometimes I switch it up like, no,
no, no, don't stop a rocking.
Dad, please, you're embarrassing us.
No, I'm not. I'm teaching you about rock music. Now, Grand Funk Railroad paved the way for Jefferson Airplane, which cleared the way for Jefferson Starship. The stage was now set for the Alan Parsons Project, which I believe was some sort of hovercraft.
Dad, no one cares about any of your stupid dinosaur bands. You have the worst, lamest taste in music ever.
And many times the noise that disturbs and destroys the home is the noise of the rock beat. And I've known families who live to see their children destroyed morally because they allowed them to listen to rock music in the home and to have rock records. Or the television set blaring full blast all the time. If you've half a mind to watch TV, that's enough. Depraved music and depraved programs, many of them.
The present music scene defies all description. The so-called acid rock of this hour that is being played on the top 40 stations is music that is inspired by the devil demon forces of hell. Art Linkletter stood before Congress just the other day with hot tears that stung his cheeks and addressed this great law-making body of America. And he told those people, he said, listen, don't kill my girl, it killed her. And he said, this music scene that's in every nightclub, every discotheque, every honky-tonk, every home almost in America, he said, parents may not realize it in this hour, but the songs with their lyrics are lyrics that are advocating dope-taking, that are advocating every filthy, suggestive filth that the mind of man can imagine. And my God, the devil in this hour is using the entertainment medium, young people. It's directed at you, the big beat that's filled with the demon forces of hell, that has a meaning that wants to bypass mom and dad and go straight to the heart of the young person. It's inspired by the devil for one reason, and I'm going to tell you what it is.
Oh, this is a gal! Oh!
Oh! The music scene, and I know a little bit about it. My cousin Jerry Lee Lewis was one of the chief instigators of rock and roll music. And this SDS crowd, this black and white panther crowd, these militant groups, they say we're going to take over America, and the way we're going to do it, and our biggest weapon, is rock and roll music. Rock and roll music, that's what we're going to use. You say, well, preacher, you play music with a beat. There's nothing wrong with rhythm. Every time we come to church, we sing leaning on the everlasting arms and clap our hands and praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with rhythm whatsoever. Moses and Miriam on that shores of that Red Sea played their tambourines and shouted the praises of Almighty God. But I want you to know this beat that the devil today has nurtured and fostered is inspired by the powers of hell. And there are young people that are in these rock groups that are pulling off their clothes in full view of thousands of young people and engaging in the sex act. They're asked the question when police dare not step in with the air thick with marijuana smoke. They had one right near Baton Rouge the other day. 100,000 kids were there. The huge speakers that beat out the music as dope-filled entertainers and performers beat up on the guitars and drums and instruments. Those young people that ripped off their clothes and acted like animals was asked the question why by reporters. They said, it's the music. It's the music. It gets down in you, it washes over you and beats upon your brain. And I really didn't know what I was doing, they said. I just pulled off my clothes and I had to do it. Inspired by the powers of darkness. And you boys and girls that have Beatle records at home, this is the most rotten, dirty, damnable, filthy, putrid filth that this nation or the world has ever known. And you parents that would allow this filth to be in your home, you ought to be taken out somewhere and horsewhipped. You hear me? And I mean it, my friends.
Why don't we do it in a row? Then all these kids are out here doing it in a row, you dig? And then you're singing all that stuff and saying, well, it's all Charlie's fault. Hey, man, I didn't write the song. Hi, that's not my generation. My generation's Bing Crosby, man. I'm not generation of Beatles.
He's cool.
Are you being sarcastic, dude?
I don't even know anymore.
Hi there. It's been a while since I set foot in Good Vibrations music. Where can I find the latest releases by Bread?
Oldies.
Oldies? But you've got all the top bands in here. Styx? I just heard them on the King Biscuit Flower Hour. Now, here are some of your no-name bands. Sonic Youth, Nine Inch Nails, Hullabalooza.
Hullabalooza is a music festival. The greatest music festival of all time.
There can only be one truly great music festival a lifetime, and it's the US Festival.
The what festival?
The US Festival. Yes. it was sponsored by that guy from Apple Computers?
What computers?
Rock and roll. Where's that good old bunny hug and turkey trot in Charleston? And what about the karaoke and the bunny hug, huh? Them was dancers. You dance your brains out with those kind of steps. Rock and roll. Will you shut up?
That's very rude, not to mention I'm cool. Everybody's got his own shot, you think?
Oh, whatever happened to Boogie Woogie?
How would it deserve?
KFSL, Fossil 103. Classic hits from ABBA to Zeppelin. Come on, land.
We are winners and losers. We're losers.
Tell him!
Mr. Simpson, sir, can you please change the radio station?
But this is Grand Funk Railroad. You guys back there know Grand Funk, right? Nobody knows the band Grand Funk? The wild, shirtless lyrics of Mark Farner? The bong-rattling bass of Mel Shocker? The competent drum work of Don Brewer? Oh, man! For more information on Grand Funk, consult your school library.
What are teenagers doing today? They're trying every thriller is in the books. Only to find out it doesn't really satisfy. In fact, it says in Ecclesiastes that the eye is not satisfied with seeing. We got colored TV, but it still isn't satisfying. Nor it says the ear filled with hearing. You ever go in a restaurant and watch kids put nickels in the Nickelodeon and then watch the reactions? Knocking their heads together like they got the rickets, you know? You can't understand it. It's going so loud and so forth, and they're wiggling and wobbling around and everything else, and yet they're not satisfied. And these disc jockeys say, here is a tune that is different.
Don't you want me, baby, 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 baby.
Oh, I'm nuts.
Oh, dear. Crazy, you've never seen anything. And the dancing and the wiggling and the carrying on. Oh, honey, I used to move that way 15 years ago when I meant it. Only I didn't do it until I was 18. Before that, I just laid there. You know the Watusi that the teenagers are doing now? I just heard that the Watusi tribes in Africa are now doing a dance called the Teeners. That's when they all get around in a big circle and they have a Coke in one hand, a candy bar in the other, and they dance around until their face breaks out. Oh, I'm telling you, it's crazy today. You've never seen anything like it. Every time you go to the Godo, you're watching on television with the hullabaloo and the shindig. I don't know, when we were dancing years ago, it was such a pleasure. You know, you sort of walk up to a gal and you say, may I have this dance? You'd take her in your arms, you'd dance around, you'd bite her ear, you'd whisper little things in her ear. It was wonderful, I don't know. Honey, you've seen the kids today? They get on, the music starts, they rush out to the floor, and honey, I don't know how they can tell the girls from the boys. With the hair they're wearing, they can't tell. They just get out there, and I guess they just have to feel around. Honey, when we were dancing, it was like a vertical desire for a horizontal position. Now it's a vertical position for a horizontal desire. Just a few short years ago, when I was in my youth, we danced the prim and proper way. Now you know that's the truth. The kids today think dancing's nearly moving frantically. What they consider dancing now is still poontang to me.
As a matter of fact, I have here a copy of a report of the district attorney of Alameda County. It concerns a dance in the men's gymnasium at the University of California. The incidents are so bad, so contrary to our standards of human behavior, that I couldn't possibly recite them to you here from this platform in detail. Three rock and roll bands were in the center of the gymnasium playing simultaneously all during the dance. And all during the dance, movies were shown on two screens at the opposite ends of the gymnasium. These movies were the only lights in the gym proper. They consisted of color sequences that gave the appearance of different colored liquids spreading across the screen, followed by shots of men and women on occasion. Shots where the men and women's nude torsos on occasion. And persons twisted and gyrated in provocative and sensual fashion. The smell of marijuana was prevalent all over the entire building. Sexual misconduct was blatant. At 2 a.m., an electrician had to be summoned by a custodian to cut off the power, which was the only way.
The President of the United States is about to address the nation from the Oval Office. Here now is the President.
Our military commanders to totally rock America. And I repeat those well-known words over and over again. We will rock. And I repeat this over and over again. Over and over again. And I repeat this.
Rock against drugs, because that's what George Bush wants. That's what we want, isn't it? Government-approved rock and roll. Don't you want to be in a concert one night, look to your right and see Dan Quayle right next to you, man? You know you're partying, then you know you're on the edge. Quayle Monster's here. There ain't no coming back. We might be up till 11 tonight.
Rock and roll. What an empty generation.
What is rock? Rock is music that once went from A to Z instantaneously. But rock today doesn't even go to B, so what's the difference? Doesn't even go to A sub 2. It was once music that morons could eat. It was once nurture for morons. It isn't even nurture anymore. It's music to keep morons stupid.
Musicians today who don't do drugs and in fact speak out against it, we're rock against drugs. Boy, they suck. Suck. Ballless, soulless, spiritless, corporate little bitches, suckers of Satan's.
Here's a Bible of the rock and roll religion. This new religion, get it, new religion, is the product of the war baby generation. The opera implies that the new faith was the one which began in 1962 to 63 with the music social revolution precipitated by the Beatles. Their musical revolution led to the social change, and together, a new morality was established.
When he hadn't ought to bought rock and roll records, that jive always makes me want to fight.
Stevie Nicks, the distinctive voice of Fleetwood Mac. Her style is unforgettable. Her lyrics, unintelligible. Stevie's back with all your favorite hits on one big album. It's Stevie Nicks. What the hell is she saying? Yes, all her classics are here. You'll get Me, Henry, and the incomparable digitally remumbled for stereo inaudibility. This is Stevie Nicks at her most nebulous. Stevie Nicks, What the Hell Is She Saying? Available now on Incoherent Records and Tapes.
We're rock stars who do Pepsi Cola commercials. I believe these little demon piglets can nuzzle up and suckle all at once. Here comes a fella named Vanilla Ice. comes MC Hammer. There's Madonna with two heads.
Man, that guy's guitar is talking.
Hey, my shoes are talking too.
Don't worry, we won't hurt you. We only want to have some fun.
And to think, Smithers, you laughed when I bought Ticketmaster. Nobody's going to pay a 100% service charge.
Well, it's a policy that ensures a healthy mix of the rich and the ignorant, sir.
This is an authentic Hullabalooza ticket. For authentic refreshment, eat Clark Bars. And for totally outrageous class rings, it's Jostens. Go Jostens.
Do you feel like you do, Springfield? Yeah! Do you feel?
Tickets out, throw your cameras out, surrender all identification.
Yoink!
Oh, my roommate Kahlua!
Generation X may be shallow, but at least they have tolerance and respect for all people.
Hey, a freak show!
It's funny because it's true.
Alternative, you are so beautiful to me. With your 9-inch nails, bumper sticker on your black leather jacket. Please take my hand, and we can walk together into the mosh pit of life. Alternative, would you go to Lollapalooza with me, and we can pay $5 for a glass of water. Alternative, when I read your poetry, feel your pain, 'cause no one understands you but me. I was walking down Haight Street in San Francisco when a countercultured youth cornered me. She had a freshly dyed purple mohawk, $120 Doc Martin boots. So in other words, she was wearing about as much equity as I had made so far this year. And with a wanting look, on her pale face. She asked me for some change. I said, change comes from within. Alternity. Pierced nose to your tattoo. Alternity. Let's go to the mall by where you live, and we can hang out with all the other alternative kids. Alternity. And then we can take a risk and buy a compact disc by a band that no one's ever heard of. Alternity, please take my hand, and we can walk through this meaningless, superficial world together. The day Kurt Cobain died, we both held each other and cried. But you made me feel a lot better when you said, thank God it wasn't Eddie Vedder. Alternity, you're such a tortured soul, 'cause you broke up with me when I said I liked mid-70s rock and roll. Alternity, really broke my heart, and now the only time that I can see you is when you're working at Kmart. But I'll always love you, Alternateen.
It may be bleak, but this music is really getting to the crowd.
Making teenagers depressed is like shooting fish in a barrel.
This song doesn't have a chorus that's a sing-along. Doesn't rhyme a single word of love. This song doesn't have a merchandising tie with Adidas, Pepsi, Honda, or Bud. This song doesn't fit the proper demographic. This song doesn't make you want to dress up all in black. This song doesn't help you get out your problem. This song doesn't even sound like R.E.M. This song ain't another AOR, DOR, tentative new way to fit. This song ain't getting any airplay on the radio. This song says the word. Revolution in here. The sun doesn't make you wanna go and fight a war.
everybody. I'm Keish Malibu, welcoming you to another fascinating segment of Off Center. My guest today is Dr. Russell Plebo.
That's Plebo.
Plebo, author of the book The Grim Truth About Rock Music. Dr. Plebo, welcome to Off Center.
Thank you, Keish. I'm happy to be here.
That's Keish. Now, Dr. Plebo, you've given us a rather disturbing look at the sinister forces at work in modern music, and quite frankly, I've become concerned about it, and I'm sure those in the studio audience are concerned as well.
Well, that's good, Keish. I think this is something we need to be concerned about. Rock music is everywhere, even in some churches these days, and a lot of people just don't realize some of the hidden dangers they're being exposed to.
And I believe you are going to demonstrate some of those hidden dangers in our program today.
That's right, Keish. First of all, I want to perform a simple test that anyone can try in their own home, which proves conclusively that rock and roll will make you stupid.
Right. Is this the one we needed the tape for?
Yes.
Can we hear the first test tape? Okay, here it comes.
Backwards masking, take one. Satan is cool, God is a jerk. I wonder if we fooled anybody.
The Beatles were famous for their subliminal effect and their clues of finding out whether or not Paul McCartney is really dead. We open to the center cover of this album, and we see Paul sitting here with black borders on his outfit. A patch on his left sleeve, OPD, been said to mean already pronounced dead.
What?
And we find out that in our music today, the message that is being put across is rebellion. It is of sex and of drugs. It is murder and strife.
Amen.
Tonight I am not here to condemn the rock stars at all. I'm here tonight to lift up the names of those stars, our musicians, songwriters, that they will see the glorious light of Jesus Christ as I did two short years ago. I was a star myself singing with the group Wild Cherry. They had a hit record. It went gold in 76. Play that funky music, white boy.
Oh my God!
When I was in the world, lost just as everybody else was, and didn't even realize that my sins were bringing me to the pits of hell. We find out if we were to listen to the music today, rock music, punk rock music, we don't have to imagine what it's saying. It's not suggestive anymore. It's right to the point. We have punk rock groups that are out there, and they have these nightclubs that they go into in California. And they have mohawks and pink hair and blue hair and green hair. And they have pins inside of their noses and in their ears and in their faces. And they have these razor blades sewn into their clothes. And they have a dance called the Bash.
What?
And on the middle of the dance floor, this group is playing. And they're doing some kind of music. I don't think any of them had an education in music to begin with.
It's funny because it's true. Well absorbed.
And it's just loud and screaming. And the people are on the floor. And all of a sudden, they yell, Bash. And they all get in the middle of the dance floor and they take these bracelets that they have with the spikes in them and the razor blades sewn in their clothes, and they hit each other with their arms and with their feet and with their legs, and they cut each other open. And we find the dance floor full of sweat and blood, and they love it. You know how they applaud a group after they're through? They spit on them.
Disgust even me!
They throw stones at them.
Oh, how could you?
One man called Iggy Pop. Iggy Pop takes hot wax and pours it down his chest, and it melts and pours all the way down.
How do we know that?
And he runs to the back of the stage and flies out off the audience and just goes head first and dives into him. It's been said by one of the men that has filmed this whole thing going on that he hit a girl and her face was cut open and she sat on the dance floor and laughed at it because her own blood was just pouring off of her.
Oh, she's a gal!
We find out we have groups out there, new wave groups, Dead Kennedys, having a song, Beat the Brat, Beat the Brat, Beat the Brat with a baseball bat.
What?
What?
This is absolutely true.
I'm used to it.
Have the Rolling Stones killed.
Who was that saying?
Hey, I think they like that.
That's what's happening in our world out there today. And the music is doing it to the kids, and they have no idea what's happening to the subconscious mind. They say that they don't listen to the words. How many people here have caught themselves washing dishes or doing laundry or something, and an old song comes on the radio, and you're humming to it?
You make me feel like dancing! I want to dance the night away!
the hell are you two doing?
It's called rocking out. You wouldn't understand, Dad. You're not with it.
I used to be with it. Then they changed what it was. Now what I'm with isn't it. And what's it seems weird and scary to me. It'll happen to you.
No way, man. We're going to keep on rocking forever. 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 Forever.
On the radio station, that it became a natural thing to me, that my conscious mind was not aware of it, but my subconscious mind was storing these things in it. I was singing backups, I was singing the guitar parts, I was singing the drum part, the piano part, I knew the breaks, I knew all the cymbal playing, and all these songs. And Chubby Checker, Twisted, I don't even remember Twisting, the twist, I'm on it.
Christ.
And you see how your mind remembers, I remember the twist, the twisting shoes, how do you remember that, the shoelaces on the sides? I remembered all these fashions that were going on. If certain music can create emotional stability, then it's certainly most probable that hard rock music can create mental havoc among those minds who are disturbed. The mind is like a computer that permanently records every auditory stimulus that we receive. The information is stored in the subconscious mind and influences our actions and our decisions. I kind of experimented with that one day. Putting this program together, I had to listen to a lot of secular music. I had 500 albums.
Look at these records. Jim Nabors, Glenn Campbell, the Doodletown Pipers.
Hey, wait a minute. Now, first it wasn't easy. Changing rock and roll at minds. Now, things were getting shaky. I thought I'd have to leave it behind.
I was listening to songs and Satan, he is God, he is God. It was going through my mind over and over and over again. And I woke up in the middle of the night and I screamed out, I said, the blood of Jesus over my mind.
Oh my God.
That's the type of thing that Iggy Pop would do, I thought.
Looking for a place to meet or eat or just blow your brain? Then come to the universe.
The universe is out of this world, far out, sound, sights, and other mind-blowing delights, all at
the universe.
This Friday and Saturday.
You can groove to the sound of three great bands.
Upstairs, it's the electric sound of
Laxative.
Downstairs, from Brooklyn, Joey Suede and the Carnations.
Plus the Latin soul of the Shaft of Light.
All happening at the universe. Do your thing in six big rooms. The electric ballroom.
The meditation room.
The end of the world
the
room.
The pizza freakout room.
The men's room.
And the ladies' room. All happening for you this and every weekend at The Universe, 212 Bruckner Boulevard in the Bronx. If you're under 18, do your thing somewhere else.
The universe is out of this
world.
Yes, Seekers, the world. Because that's what's at stake here. Oh, but before it gets any later, let me rattle off some credits here. We started out with Sesame Street. And in the mix, bobbing up to the surface, we've heard Del Close, the Happy Fingers Institute, Ronald Reagan, George Bush, Charlie Manson, Bill Hicks, Barnes & Barnes, Bob Burden, a whole lot of the Simpsons, that Turncoat Weasel, Michael Medved, Rusty Warren, the ex-Cat Heads, the Swinging Erudites, Brother Mays Jackson, Brother Jack Van Impey, Don Loney Talks to Teens, and the Holy Ghost Players. Oh, and I'm sure there's other things I've forgotten, but I've got other things to think about, Seekers. I've got the whole world Fortunately, there is somebody out there with the courage of her convictions and two acquittals who is not afraid to take a highly unpopular stand against America's popular culture. Oh, it's killed most, if not all, of the quirky differences that used to be found within our country. I've noticed it while on the road. There are fewer and fewer weird regional off-brand sodas and snacks in the convenience stores. And every single jerkwater town in America is becoming the same blur of homogenous cookie-cutter subdivisions and edge city office parks. Styrofoam stucco houses and corporate brand names. But it's not enough that real American culture has been successfully suffocated. The same insidious tentacles covered this entire planet like a stinking web of crap, sullying the native culture of every nation on Earth and replacing it with a bright, new, shiny, plastic lifestyle. Ha ha! What a joke! Sorry, kids, no life and no style. But still, the lurid colors and catchy sounds exert an irresistible hook to other cultures for some baffling reason.
I've got Eric Bowie.
Dear God.
Whatever. An actor with a double major in theater and world languages? Hell, you're the perfect weapon.
Totally awesome. We're embarrassing.
We suck.
It is a great dishonor to my ancestors and my God, but okay.
Yes. The truth is ugly beyond belief. Our culture can kill your culture. Any culture. So for crimes against the planet, American popular culture richly deserves to die. And that's why I'm here carrying out that sentence every other week. Because it is a soulless, insidious cancer that has roots in the entire organism. And it can't be ripped out. But perhaps it can be tortured into dormancy. And as Bob is my witness, I'll see to it that American corporo crap culture cannot rest. It cannot hide. It cannot be safe. On all fronts, it must be attacked, rejected, ridiculed, and mocked for the hollow sham it is. All crappy culture. Even the comic books.
And a little straighter, walk a little prouder, be an innovator, laugh a little louder, go for refrigerator, we can show you how to. When will you be then? You belong to the Mary Marble Marching Society. March along to the song of the Mary Marble Marching Society.
Hurry, Mom, if we don't get to the convention soon, all the good comics will be gone.
What do you care about good comics? All you ever buy is Casper the Wimpy Ghost.
I think it's sad that you equate friendliness with wimpiness, and I hope it'll keep you from ever achieving true popularity.
Well, you know what I think? I think Casper's the ghost of Richie Rich.
Hey, they do look alike.
What about Richie Dye?
Perhaps he realized how hollow the pursuit of money is and took his own life.
Kids, could you lighten up a little? Now, Radioactive Man, he rules. Never punches a bad guy without saying something cool.
He's no wittier than the next superhero.
Oh, yeah? Look, he knocks the guy into the sun and says, hot enough for ya? I stand corrected.
I wish I was a comic book so I could be free. Oh, I wish I could be like Superman and fly, 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 fly. Oh, I wish I was a comic book so I could be free. And I could run around and sing the Batman.
Who's he?
Ray's brother in Denver. Gave me a magazine, one of those funny ones.
What do you mean, a comic book?
No, one of those funny ones, you know.
No, I don't, Frank.
Well, some of the pages have holes in them. You look through and there's a picture on the next page.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those on the newsstand.
They have cloth pasted in.
Cloth?
When Pope John Paul II was in Japan, he read a comic book there about the life of Saint Francis of Assisi. said the Pope, I think there should be a comic book about me. So let's call up Stan Lee and move over Captain America, step aside Incredible Hulk, make a way for the Cape Crusader, the one they call the Pope. They hired a Roman Catholic artist and a Roman Catholic writer too. Every word and picture in this comic book is gonna be the truth. He was born in Poland, this comic book will tell, when the Nazis were invading and everything was gone to hell. He was gonna be an actor, and then he became a priest. Even after he joined the clergy, he wrote a couple plays. Wow, what a comic book, what a supreme pontifical release. 64 full-color pages, 500,000 copies. Wow, what a comic book, what a supreme pontifical release. 64 full-color pages of infallibility. So move over, Captain America, step aside, Incredible Hulk, make way for the Cape Crusader, the one they call the Pope. Move over, Captain America, step aside, Incredible Hulk, make way for the Cape Crusader, the one they call John Paul.
So, did you kids have fun?
Yeah, Mom. Guess what? For a dollar, a man can probably 35 Catfords and a dozen Lois Lane.
Ooh.
I never knew what Superman saw in her. Give me Wonder Woman.
Wow.
And that golden lariat. She can tie me up anytime.
Oh. Oh.
Homer.
Oh, just kidding, Marge. Hey, what does everyone say to dinner at Rusty Burger? My treat.
Hi, Homer.
Tasteless garbage, tasteless garbage, tasteless garbage.
You eat it every day.
Oh, Seekers. Oh, it looks like we finally come to the end of the show. Oh, that was the lesbian guitarist Frank, P-H-R-A-N-C, who is doing that song about the Pope as a superhero. As opposed to the lesbian guitarist Willie Tyson, whom I played last time. I've got a weakness for lesbian guitarist records, go figure. And Larry Wildman Fisher with I Wish I Was a Comic Book and the Mary Marble Marching Society song. Oh, but yeah, I guess this would be a good time to cut in here.
It's not necessarily selling out if you enjoy it, is it?
I'm so disillusioned.
Hey, Hullabalooza isn't about freaks. It's about music and advertising and youth-oriented product positioning.
That and getting toasted, nicely toasted.
Here.
Wow, an award statue! Oh, it's a Grammy.
Hey, don't throw your garbage down here.
Tasteless garbage, tasteless garbage, tasteless garbage!
You eat it every day.
Good night, Seekers.
This disgusts even me!